Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and I'm Bob Davis again. This is Basic Gospel. We're here as we are every weekday to bring you a message of truth in Jesus Christ. And now we want to hear from you. If there's a Bible passage you can't quite understand, or if there's some issue you're struggling with, there is an answer in the Word of God, and we want to point you there right now. So don't hesitate. Give us a call at 844-322-2742. In the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Call now, because it's Basic Gospel, everybody. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Today we're going to look at a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. But it has to do with what we see going on out there in the world today. We see a lot of people trying to blend the various philosophies, the various religious ideas, trying to pick and choose little nuggets of so-called truth from all of these different religious flavors and brands, and trying to mix them with Christianity, and trying to come up with a philosophy that's going to appease everybody, that's going to be palatable to all people. And what happens is we lose sight of truth. We lose sight of what distinguishes Christianity from all other religions. Mm-hmm. And that was happening in the city of Corinth. It was happening in the city of Colossae. There is a big, huge theological word, syncretism, which is the blending of various philosophical ideas into one. And that was what was happening back in that day. That's what's happening here in America today, here around the world today. We see so many different philosophies and people trying to stand up and pull a little bit from here, a little bit from there, and blend it all together and come out with a new form of mm-hmm. spirituality. And that's kind of a key word, one of those buzz words. I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. Well, what in the world does that mean? Well, it means that I've just blended all this stuff together, and this is what I feel is the way to go.
Yeah.
Well, it's not. There's only one way to God, and that is Jesus Christ. There's only one truth, and that is bound up in the person of Jesus Christ. And Paul really gets to that point here in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. And it's a chapter about what do you do about food that's been offered to idols? Do you eat it or do you not eat it? And
right.
That was a big question back in that day. Why? Because that was an issue. I mean, there were all kinds of gods, and there were all kinds of rituals that required food sacrifices and that sort of thing. Well, what do you do with that? I mean, do you eat and so seemingly partake in that religious idea? Well, here's what Paul says in verse 4. Therefore, as to the eating of food offered to idols, we know that an idol has no real existence. It's just made up. All these gods that have been out there throughout human history, they are just made up in the mind of man.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't been able to figure out why things happen in the world, so they've created gods. They say there must be some supernatural force that brings that about. So back in Egypt, in the time of the Exodus, they had gods for everything. In Greek culture, in Greek mythology, they had gods for everything. In Roman culture, in Roman mythology, they had gods for everything. So that was prominent in the days of Jesus Christ. And so there were many, many different, quote, gods. But here Paul says an idol has no real existence, and that there is no God but one. That's the truth that we cherish as believers in Christ.
Yeah.
We know the one true God. When Paul was at Athens and he went to Mars Hill and he saw all the various statues and icons and those sort of things, and in the very middle of it was one with an inscription to the unknown God.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I'm here to explain him to you. There's one God, and once you know who that one God is, then all these idols can just disappear. They're meaningless. And so he says that there is no God but one, for although there may be so-called gods in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many little gods and many little lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom are all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist. Yeah. One God, one Lord, Jesus Christ, and it's him that we worship, and it's him that we receive eternal life from. It's in him that we have everything that we need for life and godliness. So if we want to stand out in this culture, we need to take our stand on the person and work of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
When we do, we're going to look different to the world. But when they see the reality of Christ's life being expressed through us, they will step back and take notice, because they will see that this one true God that has manifested himself, that has revealed himself in the person of Jesus Christ, is different from everything that they thought was important.
Absolutely. Friends, thank you for joining us for this edition of Basic Gospel. We have an open line for you. We have lots of calls to get to and questions on this edition, but we still have plenty of open lines at 844-322-2742. We want to hear from you, 844-322-2742. And if you're an Amazon Prime member, you may be looking forward to Amazon Prime Days tomorrow and Wednesday, and you can use your Prime Days deals to support Basic Gospel. So how does that work? Well, just log on to smile.amazon.com. That's smile.amazon.com, and choose Basic Gospel as your charity. Amazon will donate a portion of every order to Basic Gospel, and that does not affect the prices that you pay or your Prime membership in Amazon in any way. So tomorrow and Wednesday, please log on to smile.amazon.com to make it count for Basic Gospel. Once again, 844-322-2742. Bob, knowing what a sports fan you are, and I certainly am, something really extraordinary happened yesterday with an exemplary young man who is the quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys, Dak Prescott. Gruesome injury, and we just wanted to say, I believe that Dak is a Christian, and of course, he being here in the Dallas area, there's every possibility he may be have tuned across the dial and listened to the word 100.7 here in Dallas. So, number four, if you're listening, we pray God's richest blessings upon you and get well.
A speedy recovery.
Absolutely.
I tell you, when I saw that, watched it earlier today, my heart just broke, and seeing the tears flow down from his eyes, just probably the pain and just all the emotions that were involved in it.
Right.
The great show of support and love for him as a human being, it did something. And I thought that was a special moment as far as the love that was being poured out on him at that moment.
Well, he's such
a tragic injury.
So respected across the league and literally, I guess, all across the country. But we just wish number four the very best and a speedy recovery. So moving along with our questions here, this is a question from Robert, still seeking an answer on baptism. It seems to be a bigger deal here in the Midwest than I'm used to. Repent, salvation. Baptized, obedience, is how I understand it. What's your thought?
Well, baptism, water baptism, is really something that for us is more of a celebration. It's a celebration of what Christ has done. So when we believe Jesus Christ, when we believe the good news, his death, burial, and resurrection, when we call upon the name of the Lord, we're saved. And the Holy Spirit baptizes us, places us into the body of Christ. So we become a member of the body of Christ. So spiritual baptism is a key aspect of this salvation that we experience. The Spirit regenerates us and then places us or baptizes us or immerses us into the body of Christ, into Jesus. So we've been baptized into his death, into his burial, and into his resurrection. So we've been raised to walk in the newness of life. Now, water baptism is a celebration of that reality, a celebration of that truth. So we gather together as a body of believers, and someone who has joined us by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, they want to make that public declaration. And so they show what the Spirit has done. And the people that are gathered there, the body that's gathered there to witness that, celebrates with them, rejoices with them. And that's what it's meant to be, is simply a celebration of what God has already done for us through the finished work of Jesus Christ and the regenerative work of the Holy Spirit and him placing us into the body. Now, it's interesting. I think Bob had a particular verse, Acts 2:38, and Peter says there, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And so this is one of those verses that people look to and use to try to say you need to be baptized in order to be saved, water baptized in order to be saved, or others will say, hey, if you don't, then you're being disobedient. Mm-hmm. So the baptism is the obedience. But it's interesting, this ritual is something that had been a part of Judaism for a long time. There was all kinds of ritual cleansings that priests went through, and then those who went to Jerusalem to worship at the temple, they had to go through ritual cleansings as well. And there at the Temple Mount, on the second temple steps, they have excavated, and you can see all of these ritual baths, and they're called mikvahs. And that is an interesting Hebrew word. It means several things: something waited for. It means confidence. It means a collection of things, or a collection of water, and that's where they would get the purification pools. It has some meaning too, as gathering together or to be bound together. So it carried this idea of hope. So all throughout Jewish history, from the time of Abraham all the way through until the days of Christ, Israel lived in this expectation of a time when God would send forth a Messiah. Through Abraham, the promise was, through your seed, the world is going to be blessed. Through Moses, Moses said, a prophet is going to be raised up. Through David, the prophet said, someone is going to sit upon his throne forever. So there was this promise of a prophet, priest, and king, all in one person that would show up mm-hmm. at a particular point in time. So Peter was saying to those folks that were there in Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost, the time of waiting has come to an end. Let's gather together in Christ, and let's show forth what that looks like through this ritual of baptism. Mm-hmm. And how were 3,000 people baptized that day? Well, when you look and see all of the many different purification baths that are right there at the Temple Mount and on those second temple steps, you can see it was pretty easily done. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of water available. But for them, it was saying, hey, we are truly publicly declaring our identification with the plan of God. We are binding ourselves together to the plan of God. Now, going forward, we see less and less talk about baptism, and this idea that it's by grace through faith really becomes the dominant theme of the New Testament, that anyone, and even those that day, they weren't saved through water baptism. They were saved because they believed that this Jesus indeed was the Messiah, that he died, was buried, and was crucified, and they called upon the name of the Lord. And in believing and calling upon the name of the Lord, they received the gift of God's Spirit.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting word. We as Gentiles, we don't have to be baptized to be saved, but we sure get a wonderful opportunity to celebrate what God did for us in Jesus Christ when we choose to be water baptized and have others in the body of Christ celebrate with us.
Absolutely. Well, once again, 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you. And Bob, this call came in over the weekend. Let's listen.
Yes, my question is, my husband and my daughter are both Christians, but when there's a disagreement between them, my husband has the last word, and it's the end of discussion, which leaves my daughter very angry and not able to voice her feelings. How could she handle this problem, leaving her angry, but she loves her dad, but he is driving her away? And I was wondering if I could get some insight onto that. Thank you.
Well, that is a great question. And, you know, I'll just point to what Paul says about that in Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So there's a submission, an obedience that children need to show to their parents. Why? Because, you know, God placed them in that particular family, and there was a reason for that. And I think as children learn that obedience, then when the gospel calls upon their life, they can see, hey, I am just submitting myself to the Lord. I am depending upon Him. I'm calling upon Him. And so this idea of faith becomes a reality as they've kind of modeled that through being obedient to their parents.
Yeah.
But then it goes on and it talks to fathers. It talks to fathers specifically. It doesn't talk to mothers, but it says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So, you know, there's two parties involved here, and both need to step back and say, Lord, is my attitude the way it needs to be in these situations? But certainly the father needs to look at this passage and realize that he is provoking his daughter to anger. And God said, that's not the way to be a father. That's not how you do it. That's not how you express the love of God. That's not how you express the mercy and grace and forgiveness and tenderness of God. So if you really want to capture the heart, it's not about, hey, I'm in charge here, and if we have an argument, my way goes. It's about finding out what's really going on inside your daughter. It's about finding out what's really happening deep inside of her, what she's fearing, what she's struggling with. And as you do, then you can find ways to really connect the love of God to her very heart. So you want to capture her heart. You don't want her to just obey because you said so.
Or be in frustration.
That's
all the
right.
Time.
Yeah, you don't want that. So I think as a dad, you need to step back and say, hey, I don't want to provoke my daughter to anger. So how can I better handle this situation? And that's where you cling to the love of Jesus Christ. That's where you say, hey, I've got to let the love of Christ flow through me in this particular situation so that we can have a heart-to-heart connection instead of an external connection.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
As Jesus said to the Pharisees, you're clean on the outside but dirty on the inside.
Right.
And so you don't want her just to obey externally and do that as a show and her being frustrated on the inside. You really want to be able to speak to her heart.
Yes.
And so there's ways that you can do that, and it happens through really depending upon the love of Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. Glad you're with us. And, you know, in his new resource called Against the Current, Bob says that, you know, it's time for Christians to stand out rather than blending in. It's time to be transformed by the renewing of our mind instead of conforming to the patterns of this world. The good news is that God, through His Spirit, has given you everything you need to stand strong in the gospel and to live out your new life in Jesus Christ. And we're going to send you a copy of Against the Current to say thanks for your October gift. You can make that anytime at basicgospel.net, a big prominent donate link right on the homepage, basicgospel.net. Now, your generous gift will help bring believers back to the essentials, back to the truth of the gospel, back to Jesus, who is, of course, the way, the truth, and the life. Again, please donate today if you can at basicgospel.net. Well, Bob, we had this call that came in as well. Let's listen to this one.
Hi, this is Patty from Phoenix, and I have two questions. One is about word admonish in 1 Colossians 1, and I was looking it up. It said something about placed mind, and one of the verses comes right after Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'm getting the impression that the angle of this discussion they want at church is like kind of on that bad Christian, bad Christian MO instead of, you know, Jesus is in us. He's our hope of glory. Let him change us from the inside out, you know, back to love, right? Instead of clunking each other over the head with the Bible and how bad we are, whatever.
Well, Patty, that's a great, great question. And the passage that you're referring to is Colossians 1:28, and it follows, as you said, right on the coattails of Paul's proclamation that of the mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. So what was Paul's desire? That people really understood this message, and they trusted in Jesus, that they actually put their full weight of trust on Jesus Christ. He didn't want people to give lip service to this philosophy and just look at it as one of many. That's why he goes on in chapter 2 and says, "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit. Realize that in Christ you're going to be complete. There's no other way to be complete as a human being apart from faith in Jesus Christ." So he lifts up Jesus. He proclaims him as the preeminent one, as the creator of all things, as the one that holds all things together. And he says that he died to reconcile you unto himself, to present you holy and blameless in his sight. So receive him. Receive him as the only one that can satisfy the thirst of your soul, the only one that can bring life to your spirit. Receive him and allow him, his life, to be the life that flows through you.
Yeah.
Once you've found him, don't go looking for anything else, because if you do, you haven't realized that Christ is that answer. So that's the warning. That's the admonishment. Don't just let this go in one ear and out the other. Don't just give this lip service and say, "Oh yeah, that's really neat." Pay attention to this message. Hear it for what it is. Christ died for your sins. Christ was buried. Christ was raised. And this Christ wants to come and live inside of you. So don't let anybody move you off of that message. Stand fast right there. So That is the warning. And certainly back in that day, there were a lot of slick charlatans going around the Roman Empire. And they were trying to persuade people to certain ideas and certain types of thinking, certain types of philosophy, all for the benefit of padding their pockets, of increasing their personal gain. And so everywhere Paul went, these folks would come in behind him, and they would try to move the people away from the good news of Jesus Christ. So Paul is simply giving a warning. You're going to hear some empty philosophy. It's going to be deceitful. Don't listen. It's empty. There's nothing to it. Yeah. In Christ, you have everything that you need for life and godliness. In Christ, you are complete. He is the one that made a difference in your heart. He is the one that has made you alive. He is the one who has forgiven all of your sins. He is the one who has transferred you out of darkness into the marvelous light. So let your eyes be focused on Jesus and Jesus alone.
Yes, indeed. And Patty, thank you for reaching out. I hope that's been a help to you and to each of you who reached out over the weekend or earlier, as a matter of fact. We hope that the answers you've gotten have benefited you. And we hope that if you have further questions, you won't hesitate to reach out again. And you can do that, of course, as always, at 844-322-2742. Well, thanks for being with us for Basic Gospel today, everybody. Keep in mind that if you have Bible questions or some troublesome issue, that's the number to call. Tell us about it at 844-322-2742. We'll discuss it on Basic Gospel. Again, that number, 844-322-2742 in the U.S. and Canada. And again, thanks to the many of you who faithfully support Basic Gospel every month. Your prayers and your gifts are the lifeblood that keep Basic Gospel on the air and online. Please join us today by clicking donate at basicgospel.net. And when you make your October gift, be sure to request your copy of our newest resource. It's called Against the Current by Bob Christopher. Again, that's basicgospel.net, and be sure to request your copy. Against the Current, it will be a tremendous blessing to you. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be with us again tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.